Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We welcome you to our program today. We're going to have a continuing teaching. These are church services that we have done, or healing schools that we've done, and we welcome you to come and join in this. And everything we have, you can have the everything in its entirety. It's free and postpaid. We will tell you at the end of the program exactly how you can get our programs, and they're all free and postpaid. And may the Lord bless you.
Don't be one of those. And verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. You shall eat well by the fruit of your mouth? Isn't that a strange saying? Who would ever dream that your mouth could bring forth good things? But by your mouth, you can produce great fruit. I think about even when I worked in the secular world, when I was an engineering instructor right down here at Dallas, I provided for my family by the fruit that came out of my mouth. I taught men systems on airplanes. I used to go with guys, and I would literally stand up behind the engineering seat in a Lockheed Electra or DC-8, and as these guys were flying this airplane, if they had any kind of a question about anything, emergency procedures or anything on that airplane, or any circuit breaker or any gauge or anything on that airplane, I was supposed to know all the answers. So when they flew that airplane, out of my mouth came words of wisdom to teach those men how to fly those airplanes safely so they wouldn't cause accidents or have problems. I provided for my family by the fruit that came forth from my mouth. How did I get that fruit in there? I studied. Hours and hours and hours I studied. And I spoke worldly things to worldly men. Some of them were Christians. But it provided. And out of the fruit of my mouth, I ate well. But the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. The soul of the unfaithful. If you're unfaithful to God, you're going to have numerous problems, and you're not going to like to sit down at that table of violence and eat on that. But it's going to come to your house. It's going to come to your house. So you need to be aware of that. You have to be very careful what comes out of your mouth. You have to do what God says. Verse 3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Like that guy down in Port Lavaca the other day. I told him, I said, you know, to guard my mouth, to control my tongue, I had to put 3 layers of duct tape around my head. And he just spoke up and said, brother, for me, it'd take a whole roll. Well, if it takes a whole roll for you, then put it around there. Whatever it takes to control your tongue. Because he who guards his mouth preserves his life. You would never think that if you say the wrong things out of your mouth, you can die. How many times have you heard, and some of you may still listen to the news, when I used to listen to the news, some guy was in a bar in Dallas or Fort Worth, and they're about half drunk, and some woman walk in, and maybe she was a prostitute or who knows, and she might say something to one of them, and the other guy get angry, and one of them say, well, you stupid idiot, and out of the mouth, and the next thing you know, one of them's got a knife, and then one of them's dead, laying on the floor. What caused that? The words come out of his mouth. He killed himself with his own words. Isn't that amazing? But now, see, when you're under the influence of alcohol in a place like that, you can't guard your mouth, because the devil will take control of your mouth whenever you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. You cannot control your tongue when you're under some kind of influence of some kind of drugs or alcohol. You can't do it. That's why you should never, ever, ever take any of that stuff. You know, you're not very smart if you do. Not very smart. Verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. I used to think about that. You know, that didn't take a proverb from God for me to understand that. When I used to work hard, and I'd go save my money, and I'd go buy me a car, and I'd pay cash for it. And somebody said, Thurman, I can't believe you drive such a nice car. I said, why not? I work hard. Well, yeah, I know. You know, you're always up early, you know, you work late, and you seem to manage your money well and all that kind of stuff. But now, you know, I don't like to work like you do. I mean, I'd rather sleep in till 10 o'clock in the morning and then go to work at 11, and then I want to take a lunch break for 2 hours, and then I want to work 30 minutes, and I want to take a 30-minute break, and then I want to get off at 3. I know people like that, don't you? And they never have anything. You know, but they want what you got, but they're not willing to work. Well, let me tell you, that's not the way the system works. Do you know, when I worked in the world, I had a VP tell me one time, he said, Thurman, if 3 months before I met this guy, he said, the VP that was here before I came here, he told me, he said, now, Thurman, you don't have to worry about. All you need to do is call him on the phone, tell him whatever project you want, and he knows his business, and he'll take care of it for you. You don't ever have to call him twice about no project. He'll get it done. He said, you have worked for me now for 3 months, and I've never met you, but I met him at DFW Airport one day, and he said, I want you to know that what everybody told me about you was true. He said, you're a diligent man. You're always on the job. And he said, one thing I've learned about you, too, he said, on your expense account. He said, you virtually never have food on your expense account. I said, well, I mean, we're an in-flight service. We provide food, so I go to work in the morning. I eat breakfast there, and I eat lunch there, and usually I'm still there at 6 or 7 at night, so I eat there before I go home, or actually go to the hotel when I'm out of town. So I don't have any food on my expense account. He said, well, we got other people that are chefs and in HR and everything, and they're in the same place as you are. And this is nothing uncommon for them to have $50, $75, $100 a day expense account for food. He said, I'm fixing to require everybody that works for me, except you, to provide me with receipts when they eat. Because he said, I think they're padding their expense account. But see, when you do things right. And of course, then every year without exception, my appraisal from the company, I never worked for a VP in my life at that corporation, that everything on my appraisal was outstanding. And I got the maximum increase that was allowed every year in the 17 years I worked for the Marriott Corporation. I got the maximum. If they had a 5% maximum or a 10% maximum, whatever the maximum increase in pay was, I got it every year because I was diligent. And they didn't have to tell me more than one time what they wanted me to do. I ran my show because I'm working for the king and not for them.
Amen.
And by working for the king, you don't slough off. Because he's with you all the time.
Amen.
He knows everything you do. And so I'd a whole lot rather please God than man. If I please him, then I ain't going to have a problem pleasing my boss. Verse 5 says, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands. What does that mean? A good woman takes care of her house, takes care of her husband, takes care of her family, and she works diligently to do it. She is not a complainer. She is in charge of her finances. She takes her money that her husband gives her and she uses it diligently to provide for him and for herself and for her family. She doesn't spend money foolishly. She doesn't buy things she doesn't need. She can be trusted by her husband. That's a wise woman. She doesn't go out and take her credit card and spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 and say, oh, by the way, I spent a little extra money today or this last month. My credit card is over the limit. I have spent over the limit on three of them, and we now owe $35,000. Did you know there's women that's done that? There's men that have done that. They didn't need that stuff. They could have easily lived without it, but they went out and did it. I have talked to people in church. I need a financial miracle. I said, what do you mean? Well, I'm $35,000 in debt on my credit cards, and the interest is 20%, and it's killing me. I said, what in the world did you buy with all that money? Well, last year I had to buy all my in-laws Christmas. I put it on my Christmas card. I said, you know, they probably took it all back anyway, so why buy them something? We're foolish. We are absolutely foolish. It's okay to spend a lot of money for Christmas if you got it, and it's not going to jeopardize you or your family. But don't go out and put Christmas on credit cards. That's not God's way. That's the devil. I said, but they gave me something. That's okay. If they gave you something, they got the money to give you something, let them give it to you. But if they gave you a gift that costs $1,000 and they're rich, you don't have to give them something worth $1,000 back. You know, if you don't have the money, go down and get them a card and say, thank you for what you've done and I love you. But give them a $3 card if that's all you're going to want. But don't go in debt. You know, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down. Verse 21 says, he that despises his neighbor sins. See, if you're walking in love and all of a sudden you have a grudge against your neighbor, you just fell from grace and you've sinned. Now you're under the law. And all the law, you've just come under the whole law, and the devil has legal right to you through the whole thing. He that despises his neighbor sins. He has mercy on the poor, happy is he. We should have mercy on the poor. You know, when you see somebody over, say, look at that old ragged guy. I mean, what about that guy? I mean, that's terrible. You ought to get that guy off the street. You ought to lock him up. You just sinned. You just sinned. If you see somebody and God don't prompt you to give them something, at least pray for them. If God says, you know, you really need to share what I've given you with that guy standing on the corner, give him $5. You say, okay, Lord, if you promise me to give him $5, I'll give him $10. The Lord says, no, don't give him $10, give him $5. But if you say, okay, go ahead. He said, if I'll prompt you to give him $5. But if you want to give him $10, he said, I'll return it to you with good interest. Just trust me. So, verse 25. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. A deceitful witness. You open the door to the devil every time you tell a lie.
We're going to have to break in right there and stop the program for today. But if you'll join us tomorrow, the next program will be coming on Monday through Friday on your station. And we'll love to continue on. If you would like these teachings in their entirety, you're welcome to call our ministry center at 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you any type of media, free and postpaid. We have these teachings in their entirety. We'll be happy to send them to you. Or you can go to our website, www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That stands for The Living Savior Ministries. And there you can order these teachings free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is our wonderful Lord and Savior. He is a mighty God.